Hello, everyone. Sorry it took me a minute. The software that I use is a little slow today. So good morning, good morning, good morning. I want to show everyone, here's Corinne's fresh face. You know it's camp week when I stop wearing makeup. I have to be in my full-on face for 3 days. And so the week before camp, what I do is I start slowly weaning myself off makeup. I vacuum the face daily. You can see how red it is from where I'm getting all the skin off. I put every serum known to man on my face. I bought all of them. I'm all about some serums. And then today I'm getting a spray tan. So wearing the loose clothes, all the things so I can get my spray tan. I can not be completely washed out by the lights and all that kind of stuff. So one of these days I'm going to have to do another one of my do a facial with Corinne nights. We did this, guess what? It was sometime during COVID. It was like right after COVID started. And I did a Facebook Live where I just went live with you guys. I literally vacuumed my face on camera, did all my mask and everything, and just chit-chatted with y'all, I think on a Friday night. So once we get past camp, we may have to do a girls' night again where we do something like that. Let me tell you a couple things that are coming up that's exciting. We have, one thing I'm super excited about is we have a planner challenge starting next Monday. So starting on Monday, January the 4th, you're going to get a video each day from a coach. So one of the coaches has shot a small video on the planner and how they best use it and things to watch out for and why it's important for you so that they can kind of guide you through your planners. I really believe in our planner. I mean, here I am using mine every single day. I think it's super helpful. It's a way that you can guide yourself along your journey. And one of the things that I wanted to say, I was listening to a podcast this morning about, basically about your growth plan for yourself. It was a business podcast, but I was sitting there thinking about all of us when it comes to weight loss and stuff. And I want you to ask yourself this question. If I asked you, if I said, hand me your planner, I'm coming to your house and I am going to solve all your weight loss problems. But all I need is, I just need your planner. I need to know what you've been eating, what's been working, what's been wrong. And I'm not going to talk to you about it. Would you have a major opportunity in front of you, or would you be like, fuck, I should have been writing shit down? The world's best expert in weight loss is coming to my house, and all she needs to do is read my planner to get my shit in gear. I want you to think about that. Because you're here in no BS. That is the literal opportunity that you have. This planner is written in such a way that it guides you. If you do it, it guides you to all of the problems that you have with weight loss. It highlights and spotlights them. And it walks you through all the questions you need to uncover what you need to do next in order to solve it. We have in here how to set up ideal days so that you can work your way through that. I'm going to be teaching a class on January the 9th on basically how to get your goals, not only how to set a goal, but how do you get there? And one of the things I'm doing is I'm walking you through my success habits. Like, we're going to talk about your whys, who you want to be and how you do it. And then I'm going to show you who you want to be, what it looks like in my life and all the things that I think are uber important. One of them is having an amazing morning and evening routine that gets my brain wired to do the things that I want to do in my life. And so I want you to think about your planner. Are you using it like someone who wants to lose weight? Or are you using it like someone who's afraid they can't? There's a huge difference there. If you keep filling it out from the mindset of, I'm so afraid I can't lose weight, you're not going to fill it out the way someone who is like, I am figuring this out no matter what is. This planner uncovers diet mentality. We give you not only ideal days so that you can set up routines, we give you tracking mechanisms so you can see exactly where your problems are so that when you use your habit tracker,
and you notice the number's low, all you got to do is find the things that aren't working and take it to Ask Coaches. Take it to a coaching call. Post it in the Facebook group. But what most of you are doing is you're filling this planner out like someone who's terrified they'll never be able to lose their weight, that they're too far gone, that it's all so hard. You're doing it with that mindset, which means that if I showed up, I don't know that you'd have much filled out. And if you did, you would be just putting the same sad shit down every single day and not trying new things. If you're terrified of losing weight, guess what? Your 24-hour plans probably look the same all the time because you're writing foods down that you think you should be eating rather than questioning. I wonder why I'm not just doing it like Corinne teaches. I'm curious as to what's stopping me from being courageous enough to put the foods down that I really do want to keep in my life. I wonder what's stopping me from putting more food down than I think I need, even though I've seen it work 1,000 times in the Facebook group. I guarantee it's just sentences. Those are the things stopping you. So I highly recommend all of you to join us for the Planner Challenge. Either go ahead and order you one. If you don't have one, get one. You can get one off the website. If you don't want to use my planner, guys, I'm going to tell you right now, this fucker is not a moneymaker. It costs me a lot of money to make these things. I made it to help women lose weight. I didn't make this thing so I could make it rain at the Crabtree household. There's no rain here. There's not even a drizzle. As most of you know, if you try to go print this, I give you the PDF to print on your own. For all of you who actually have a printer, who still have one, who's old school like me, we have three printers, actually. Logan wanted his own. Crabtree has his, and I got mine. But if you saw my desk right now, you would know the velocity of crap I print. Like, I have to print workbooks all the time and take a look at them and whatnot. But I will just tell you, use anything you want. Even though we will be teaching you how to use ours, we will be teaching you the mindset behind it. I know weight loss better than you. That I would bet my life on. Please quit believing your brain that's scared you can't do it and acting as if you don't need to write. You're the one who doesn't need to journal. You're the one who doesn't need to plan. If you're losing weight, this is the only caveat. If you happen to be part of the 10% who are losing weight without doing it, I sanction you. But the 90% of you who are listening to me right now who thinks that you're going to like outsmart me or you know better, or you're only going to do this part, not this part. You're going to Frankenstein my plan. You trying to outsmart me is not going to help you in the end. I have helped thousands of women lose weight. If you're not losing weight, quit trying to do it the way you think you should. Start doing it the way I teach you. Simplicity. Understand what your thinking is. Learn how to talk better to yourself. Get out of your own way by changing your mindset so that you're motivated to make changes. That's the secrets. So I just wanted to talk to you guys about that today because I have a topic that I actually want to kick off with before we get into questions. One of which is, I was thinking about you guys this morning. I actually have like 1,000 things I want to talk to you guys about. If I could go live every day, I would. Seriously, if I didn't think I would overwhelm all of you, I would just go live every day and I would talk about all the weight loss shit that's on my mind today because I listen to stuff all the time and I'm like, fuck, they need to know this. Fuck, they need to know this. But I'm trying to put it in a system for you guys. So number one, let me make a few announcements. On January the 4th through the 8th, that is when the Planner Challenge is. So that's why I wanted to kick off with talking to you a little bit about the planner and the importance of writing things down. Let's just all agree, our brains are a mess. The last thing we need to do is leave it all up to our brain to just like, let's just hope my crazy ass brain makes the right decisions when I'm fucking tired and stressed. It ain't. Get over it. My brain don't make those decisions either. You know what I had? This is my brain I wake up this morning, y'all. No shit. I'm getting back on high doses of vitamin D right now. I've noticed that what I was taking is not enough. I'm skyrocketing it up so I can, feel good each day. So this morning I wake up, it's Wednesday. First thing I was like, man, we should just go out tonight. I got 4 days of seriousness ahead of me. This would be a good night to go have some drinks. I mean, it's 6 in the morning. Now, I'm not there's no difference between me doing that and being like, you know what? Tonight just sounds like a great night for pizza. I just woke up ill and already anticipating there's going to be a time today where I'm just going to want to check out. But you know what else? I also told myself, I'm like, ugh. You do have 4 days ahead of you where you need to be on your A game. Having a few drinks tonight to relax, I wonder if we'll regret that tomorrow. I just wrote about it. I didn't do any harshness. I was just like, do you think you'll regret it tomorrow? Does this seem like a good decision? Because if I'm going to do it, I want it on my plan. That's my thing. It's if I really think it's going to be hard tonight, then I'm just going to do that. And I really wrote and journaled about, was it a good idea or not? Was I just anxious about camp? What was going on? And I finally just decided, I had a conversation with myself. I was like, all right, I know my old shitty thoughts. Then I had my future self over here in mind, and we're just having a conversation on paper today. We all need to have a powwow because we got to decide what we want for tomorrow. And sometimes I'm willing to pay the price. Sometimes I'm not. But I don't know unless I have a conversation in my planner about it. And so today I just decided it's a no. And so I wrote out, all right, what's the easiest way to make sure that today I stay very committed to no? Because I know I already have the urge. That urge is likely to be coming back all day long strong. So the second Chris got up, I went in and I said, okay, here's what I want to plan today. I really don't want to go tonight. What else could we do that could be a little fun tonight where I could relax? And I started going through. And I laid it out in my planner first. I got some external accountability. I said it out loud. I did all of that because all of that will help strengthen the commitment. And that's what's important. You have to be on the prowl to strengthen your commitments. Where's my Chanel tea? The king comes in here with half of what I asked for. No, just kidding. Actually, I'm drinking what's called Chanel tea. It's got pineapple in it. It's got it's a tea with some things in it that are supposed to make your face as beautiful as Chanel. It's from some place that we get shit from around here. Don't ask me the recipe. I don't know. It's a local place and it tastes good. It's a good, it's just good hydration. So there was that this morning. That was me going through my process. And so that's why we're doing the planner challenge, and we're ending it on January 9th with my class on how do you get your goals? What are the keys to the success? How do you think like your future self? What is my, if you think I'm your future self, what are my non-negotiables? What does my life look like? I've given you all of it, all of it. Then on January 16th, I'm planning a special call. So I've been reading the Facebook group. As y'all know, I get up in there, I snoop around, I coach some, I do all the things. And this is normal. So I want to start with, for all of you who think you're broken or something's wrong with you or you should know better or whatever old school horseshit you've decided to tell yourself. This is the time of year where everybody who didn't have the 2020 that they thought they would comes out of the woodwork to start saying, I've gained weight or this happened or whatever. And so we have a mix of old school people coming out who were I thought I'd lost my weight and blah, blah, blah. And, 2020 threw me for a loop and all this other stuff. I do think the rate of how many people put weight back on in 2020 is higher than usual, but I don't doubt it. It's we all think we learn how to deal with bullshit. And then it's God says, well, let's just see how much bullshit we really can deal with. And he's pandemic. Kobe Bryant, race riots, elections. And then if you're in Nashville, we started with tornadoes and we ended with a bombing. So it's like, wow, this is a year. Thank you. You know, so it's like, I just want to say to all of you, I wrote this down, that if you are in that boat where you're concerned because you gained weight or whatever, it is really easy to go to something's wrong with me or I should know better, all kinds of stuff. It's easy to think you've not done enough this last year. It's easy to think about what's not working. It's easy to think 2020 was a problem. There's a lot of thoughts that are easy to think, and they're all going to be coming up right now for all of you who didn't have the 2020 you wanted when it comes to your weight loss. So what I was talking about was the problem isn't that we had a 2020, and the problem isn't that you gained weight, and the problem isn't any of that. The problem is where your brain goes when those things happen. So if you're spending a lot of time right now thinking about what didn't work, what's wrong with you, and stuff like that, that's the lesson you're supposed to learn. Because what's happening is that mindset you carry over into, like if it's easy for you to sit and think right now that things didn't work, you're broken, it's too hard, I should have known better, then when you weigh in every week, guess what line of thinking is well-grooved? Things aren't working, I should have done better, that kind of stuff. If you overeat, guess what you start thinking? I should know better, I should do better, it's really hard for me, stuff always gets in my way. How we think about one thing is how we'll think about all the things. So when you're planning, you'll be planning from the mindset of, it's really hard for me to lose weight. I should eat better things. I shouldn't be eating stuff like this. I should put this on my plan. And we're planning from hopelessness. And we're planning from this idea that we're not good enough. And we're going through our process to lose weight, falling out of love with it. We'll have lots of thoughts about the things that we're going to do to lose weight with this energy of and dread. I need you guys to do more falling in love with the process instead of falling in love with the end goal. A lot of you spend time thinking that losing the weight is what's going to make you happy. And on the way there, you spend no time falling in love with the person you are, with the process that you're doing for yourself. You're not talking about it like it's a gift. If you're working out, some of you will work out from, I need to work out because that's going to help me lose weight, versus I'm working out because I want to be someone who moves their body. Or you're not working out thinking you should be versus thinking that's off the table for now. You know what I need? I need to learn to love food and myself together. We can do both. We have to learn to fall in love with the process more than the goal being the only thing that we love. Because when you fall in love with the process, you fall in love with the version of you. You talk better. If you're talking better about the process, you're naturally talking better about you. That is how I lost 100 pounds. I decided to stop talking about the things that I did like they're a burden, like from this place of I'm broken and that's why I'm doing this. I stopped saying I have to. I started thinking, I get to choose this. I choose this for me. When you write your plan each day, write it from the mindset of, I choose to spend this time working on my goals that are important to me. Not, have to make that plan Corinne tells us we do. I hate it, but she says it'll work. That sucks. Stop saying shit like that. You've got to raise your awareness around when are you talking on default like shit. You've got to raise the awareness around that. And then you don't get mad that you're talking like shit about it. You're like, that's good to know. Because if I want to be motivated, I better start talking more motivating to myself. This is not a motivating conversation, and that's my choice. Time to make new ones. And when you write and you journal and you answer these questions each day, you shine a light on every place that you are demotivating yourself. And you give yourself an opportunity to change your own conversations. And over time, the conversations up-level themselves because you keep doing it. I wrote this down today. I want you guys to get used to failing thousands of times, hearing old shitties, going after your dreams and succeeding versus what most of you do is failing 100% of the time, sitting back, worried and afraid you can't change. Dreading the process. Coming up with a bunch of, like a book of lies about what it's going to take to do this. Challenge yourself. When you think you should be doing something, ask yourself, really? Should I? Have I seen anything different in the Facebook group? Has there been one success story in the Facebook group who did it in a way that I'm like, that's some bullshit? If that's the case, your book of lies has you failing ahead of time. Their bullshit has them succeeding. Don't doubt somebody else's success if it'll work for you. Decide. If it will work for them, I'm going to look up. I am going to look up and figure out if they can do it, I can too, rather than look down on myself that won't work for me. We look up to success. We do not look down on ourselves. And you are also, for all of you, are going to have to start trying shit you ain't done before. Some of you, you know what you're going to have to try to do? Write shit down on that plan that makes you feel so uncomfortable. For my repeat offenders who keep making a clean plan and never sticking to it, guess where your work is? It's very comfortable to write a perfect plan and fail for you. You know what's uncomfortable? Writing that shit down that you're going to eat every day that you know you want to eat. If you know you're going to want it for the rest of your life, why not figure out a way to lose weight having it for the rest of your life? Versus trying to figure out a way to deny yourself the very things that you want to enjoy and bastardize a relationship with them and just fail repeatedly. It's all options. So this is what else I wrote, and then we're going to go straight into questions. So when you are sitting around and you have these, you know, it's easy to think you've not done enough. It's not working. The problem is 2020. I shouldn't have done this, all this other stuff. What you want to do is you want the solution to be you have to give equal airtime to what you will try instead of what won't work. So like when you think that won't work for me, you need to say like, but I also need to think about, can I just try it? What's the worst? If like failing ahead of time, 100% of the time, if you don't try it, it's going to fail. But you raise the odds of something working when you go all in on opportunities. Even if you don't get the result you want, you learn one way that it's not working. When you don't try at all, you've not learned anything but to sit back and let your fear control you. When you try things, you learn so much about yourself. You start learning your excuses. You start learning your patterns. You start learning things you might actually like that aren't so, not near as bad. You start learning what stories you tell yourself that are easy to debunk and which ones aren't as easy to debunk. You learn a lot. You might learn how to reach out. You learn so much through that process. You also, when you give equal airtime, it's you start learning why things aren't as bad as they seem. You need to start thinking, rather than this won't work for me, you need to give yourself time. But what's also possible for me doing this? A lot of you just like sit and talk about like, this won't work for me. This is no good. This whatever. I'm afraid of this. As if there's no other side to the story. When you start thinking, I fucked up, you need to give equal airtime to, but what's my next best decision? Those are the things we have to consider. Equal airtime is where it's like, I just take Mr. Old Shitty, the thing that comes in and drives the hopelessness, the defeat, the just sitting around passively doing things, to, you know what I need to do? I need to give equal airtime to what's possible. That will be the uncomfortable part. Most of you think that having old shitty thoughts and not liking yourself is uncomfortable. No, you're used to it. That's why, you know how we know it's not uncomfortable? Because when I get you on a coaching call, you argue with me why it's true. You try to get me on your bandwagon that something's wrong with you. What's really uncomfortable is being like, you know what I'm going to have to do today? I am going to have to all day long think about why I can do this. I'm going to have to all day long today talk to myself nice when all I want to do is keep my old bullshit running on repeat. When we talk about suffering discomfort, that's what we mean. And y'all need to sign up for that. The outcome from talking better to yourself is way better than the outcome of sitting back thinking it won't work. It is your time. 2021 is here. We all went through 2020, and some of us used it like a boss, and some of us didn't. And that's okay. I want you to be motivated by your past to think, you know what? I learned so much about myself. I learned everything that I need for 2021. It doesn't matter how I showed up. It matters what I do with it. Because that's all that matters about your past right now. Your past year, it does not matter what you did with it. It matters what you do with what you learned from it. You today is feeling any thought you think today about this past year, about your weight, whether you gained or you lost. You today is at the effect of that fresh thinking that you're applying. I encourage all of you to work on, as often as it takes, rerouting your brain to be inspired by your future instead. To tell yourself, I am motivated to make change because I learned a lot about myself in 2020 and I know what I want for 2021. And that version of me is ready to go. That version of me is out there and I have the tools and the help I need and no BS to get it. If I just show up a little bit each day, I will be looking up and finding all the success I need to figure out my shit. So on January the 16th, we are going to have a call for everyone who regained weight. So that if your problem is I've regained weight, what do I do now? How do you get the ball rolling? How do you, like, do I start over? All that will be answered on January 16th. I just really want to have that call. We are working on a new thing on the website. It's not going to be called SOS, but I want you to think about the mentality behind an SOS. We call SOS when we're in trouble, right? When something like we're in danger. We want to have a section on the website for SOS to where it's like I've regained weight, the scale's not moving, whatever it may be. We want to have some lessons or some calls or some worksheets, some tools so that if this is your problem, this is what you do. And we're going to be building that out over the course of 2021. So when I do the January 16th call at 10 a.m. Central Time, that for all of the people who've regained weight, I will promise you regaining weight is not a problem. Regaining weight means simply there's something about food and your emotions that you haven't solved yet. And you hit the right combination to bring that problem to the surface. And now we just need to work on that problem. And then you've got one more problem solved in your lifetime of keeping your weight off. When Logan was little, he had an ABA therapist, a behavioral analyst, who talked about his brain and that I always felt like we're never going to be able to fix everything. Like this child, like what are we going to do? He didn't really have much language up until we actually saw a video of him when he was 7 years old the other day. Of course, Logan is a motor mouth just like me now. And he was on a little treadmill and he was talking and he only could really talk in 3-word sentences at 7. And he talked like in first person. Is it first person? Or we would say like, you know, me going, you know, look at you doing. Or, you know, he would say things like that. He had a very small child vocabulary. And I will tell you, those were some hard years for me. I would beat myself up. I would think that like I had caused this. I feared his future. I would call a motherly mental prison. And I had lost my weight. And I was like just dealing with so much there and then trying not to regain my weight. And just like, y'all wonder why I know so much about this shit. It's because I have lived all of this. Everything you guys worry about, everything you fear, all the things, I've gone through all of them. And I remember her telling me, because I was crying one day after one of his sessions and he had had a rough one and he had thrown a fit on her and all kinds of stuff. And she said, Kryn, I want you to think about this. His brain is like Swiss cheese. You know how like a block of Swiss cheese has holes in it? Well, Logan's block has lots of holes. And some of them are big and we'll plug them. And some of them are really tiny and we won't see them until we get the big ones plugged. And we're going to just keep plugging holes in this Swiss cheese until the block is full. And it brought me peace because it made me think about, it had this image of, we just have to keep finding a hole and plugging it. And that is the way that I think about with weight loss. Our weight loss journey, our weight loss brain is just like that block of Swiss cheese. And a lot of us just have a lot of holes. And when you first lose your weight and you get success and stuff, or you get halfway there, whatever it is, sometimes you've plugged the biggest ones and they get you so much traction and you lose so much weight. So for all of you who think you got to like find the deep, dark secret, that's your tiny holes. Let's just start with the big ones. Let's fix those. And you'll like plug so many and you'll be rocking along and it'll feel easy. And then the little ones are the ones that become apparent. And they take a little bit more focus. They take paying a little bit more attention, but we can plug them. They're still just a hole that needs to be plugged. That's it. So we're adding that class on January 16th for a lot of you, because I really want, so many of you are interested in making sure that you figure this out. I really want to teach you guys that information on the 16th. Let me see if there's anything else coming up that I need to tell you guys. We got the planner challenge. I thought I had my announcements in here. Here we go. Or, no, I don't. I can't think of it. Oh, and camp is this weekend. So for any of you, what is today's date? So registration's closed. If for some reason you still want to get in, if you email us, we can send you an email link to get in, but it is closed on the website. It's the last day to get in. We'll be starting on Friday at noon Central Time and going until Sunday at 3 p.m. Central Time. So there's that. Let's get to some questions. And let's make sure that, hey, Mary Jo, go through the questions. If I've already talked about it in this first part, go ahead and kill those questions, okay? I overate 2 days ago and the screw it mentality was so strong. Outside of trying to save the day, are there any other powerful thoughts to support the fuck it eats? Yeah, my brain is Swiss cheese. That's it. Like sometimes the fuck it eat will be strong. The main reason a fuck it eat, well, I will tell you this. The reason why sometimes that sentence becomes very strong and powerful is really what's under it. What were you making that particular overeat mean? Because you're going to say screw it because you're trying to get away from some defeatist mentality. So when you overate, did you go into like, so thinking why say fuck it when saving the day is an option? That is a good thought to overcome the idea of the fuck it. But if you want to figure out why am I wanting to say fuck it to begin with? That's looking at, what was I telling myself about that overeat? What was I making that overeat mean? Was I making that overeat mean I'm never going to get this, blah, 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 blah. And then, guys, I will tell you, after the fact, if you can figure out, it doesn't have to be the exact wording, but even just whatever you think it might be now, write that down, and then in your journal, go to work on why it's not true. What this overeat also can mean, this is that concept of that equal airtime. It's like, I know my brain wanted to make it mean this, and that's why it was so, like, I can see now why I wanted to just keep eating, because if I made it mean these things about me, or if you overate and you were telling yourself, I feel so much better. Like that just made everything go away. Like I can see where that thinking makes me want to just keep eating. So here's what I really want to tell myself about it. Now that I've got a little bit of distance, a little bit of clarity, and I'm thinking about what my future goals are, going to be inspired by where I'm going. Here's what I want to remember about these moments. They don't really make any of the feelings go away. In the moment, yeah, sure, I may temporarily feel better, but what I forget is the next day, not so awesome. And here's what I end up going through. And here's all the things. So that your brain starts attaching to overeating all of the pain of what an overeating really does. This is not where you're like sitting there and beating yourself up, but you're like gently saying like, this is the other side. This is the downside to the overeat. And then if you're making it mean you're a failure or that you can't do things and blah, 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 you need to like, then you go through and you're like, that's like one way that I tell the story. But the other way that I could tell the story is when I overeat, it just means this is my next problem to solve. Batter up. When we talk about, you know, failing 1,000 times, this is one of those fails on me chasing my dream. This is one of my 1,000 times I'll fail on the way to my dream. It's a much better way to look at it versus just like, see, you'll never be able to do it. Each of them can be equally as true. Just decide a truth that's going to get you someplace. One of them takes you to your future self. One of them does not. I'm so proud of myself. For a few days, I've been assessing my plan without judgment. Good for you. And I'm noticing the same pattern. After dinner, I begin justifying, negotiating. The subconscious thoughts come in and I hear them, but I'm choosing one cookie, one snack, but I'm not hungry. I've been planning what I want to think, but 3 days, exact same pattern. So now what? Old me will want to go straight into restriction. Future me wants your help figuring it out. I would just keep doing it. It's only been 3 days. You have a lifetime. What your brain is saying is like, okay, so when I don't have immediate success and change, I just want to go to restriction. So your next step is to not give in to the part of you that's like, if I would just restrict, problems would be solved. And you know that, like, what you need to do is start writing about, hey, brain, I know we want to restrict, but here's why it doesn't work. Like, every single time I've tried that, I just end up doing these things eventually. That doesn't work. Right now, what I need to get used to is hearing the justifications. And in those moments when the negotiating and the subconscious thoughts and stuff come in and you're choosing one cookie and one snack, one, I would probably, if you're used to just blowing it, which I think, Merle, you are, don't be in such a rush to not eat. Can we just for a minute celebrate that I'm actually doing my plan? I'm actually doing eating what I said I would. I put it on the plan, but I'm not hungry. But this is not the part where I'm not supposed to eat when I'm not hungry. This is the part where I'm supposed to give myself the option. This is the part where I'm getting good at following the plan and not knee-jerking into restriction. And you applaud yourself for that. I think, like, all the questions you've asked in the past and stuff, I think a big pattern for you is that even when you're doing it successfully, you're finding that there's still a problem. Your brain needs more, and I'm glad you said, I'm assessing without judgment. Your brain is trying to subtly negotiate a little judgment in there. Like, we should be a little further along. We should probably just do this. Like, I'm still eating that cookie. This is a problem. Rather than, this is not a problem. I want you to ask yourself, rather than thinking it's still a problem that I'm still eating the cookie, what if you thought this? I'm really proud that every night I'm giving myself the option. I can't wait for the day that I just don't want it. I can't wait for the day that I'm going to try not having it and see what happens. Think about it like that. Because right now, choosing the cookie is really not a problem. You're solving this other one over here. And you're not focusing on the part where you're solving. I am almost at the goal number that is in my head. At the same time, I'm very happy and satisfied where I am. I'm so happy and very proud of where I am. My life has completely changed and I love it. But I still find myself eating off plan and saying to myself before I eat it, does this help me get to where I want to be? I'm fine and happy where I am, so it's okay. And then I go ahead and eat it. I go between telling myself I'm happy where I'm at and wanting to lose that little bit more. Either way, it's an off plan eat, but I keep justifying it by saying I'm good. Any advice on some things to say to myself? This is what I would do. I would really ask yourself, why you want to lose 5 more pounds, and do you like your reasons? So if you're within, I think you said, I can't remember how far off you said you were from your goal, but figure out where you're at with your goal, right? Sometimes what we do is we set this original goal and we think that's where we're going to be happy. And a lot of us, because we had thoughts around that number that we think that number, it's that number. Like, I know this whole thought work thing, Corinne, but seriously, it's that number that makes me happy. And what we do is we've never lost weight liking ourselves. And we've never lost weight being more than just our body and scale number. We've never lost weight appreciating our life, appreciating how we eat. Like, we've just never lost weight that way. And some people find their happiness before they find the goal. But they keep wanting the goal because they have this small idea that, but that's what I should weigh, or that's really what I want. So this is when you like use this as an opportunity to flesh out, why do you really want it? what is going to be different there than here? Do you want to just do it because you said you would? If so, it would. It's an easy switch, right? It's just like, I said I would, and I'm really good at this, and I'm just going to go. And so, you know, whatever. But you're having this justification and stuff, and like you're. It's like, I'm really happy, but I also have this goal. It's like just exploring. Can I give up my weight goal? Some people keep a weight goal around for fear, if they don't have that, that they won't keep their weight off. That's something good to write about. There's all kinds of things to find in there. But I think the very first step for you, Lisa, is to think about what you weigh now and what you think you want to weigh, and to really get honest about, here are all the reasons why I want to weigh that. And see if some of it's just like, I keep thinking that number is going to create this feeling. If you're already feeling it now, it's one of the reasons why that number starts becoming less and less relevant. But there may be reasons. There may be some good ones. It may be like, you know, like I tell myself, like for me, like sometimes I want to lose weight, right? Like I want to lose 5 to 10 pounds. And it's always around, I want to see more muscle, like all this other stuff. But it's not super compelling, because I do a lot of work on understanding it's not going to make me any happier than I am. And so if I really want to get there, I have to find reasons that actually mean something to me. And don't dismiss the happiness now. I think one thing that I'm working on this personally myself. I don't talk a lot about it yet because I'm in the throes of my own work on it. But one of the things that I'm really starting to figure out and find is that we have been so conditioned in the world around how we should look and what's appropriate and all this other stuff that it is really hard to divorce yourself from the idea of basing your beauty standards and your, like your size standards and everything on what you actually like versus what you think the world expects of you. And that doesn't mean the whole world's coming in saying you should weigh blah, blah, blah. But like, if we just kind of sit back and think like a big look at it, there's a lot out there telling us around what's acceptable and not a lot of challenging of it. So there's just a lot going on there, but for you, for sure, do a lot more exploration around. One of the questions you can ask yourself is, so take your goal weight versus your current weight. List out all the things you feel, like not your thoughts, your actual feelings around your goal weight or your current weight, your current life, your eating, and your body. And then do the same thing for what you think that number and what that life would look like and that eating and everything. Come up with a list of the feelings first and just see if you notice any similarities, because if you're feeling one way here and the same way there, you get to start questioning, well, what makes that lower weight compelling now? Like, what is really making it interesting? Because if it's not that interesting, other than it was just something I said, maybe the version of you that wanted that number is not the version of you that you are now. The version of you now is a little bit more knowledgeable, a little more complete on the self-love side, and just has a different view. Just something to think about. It's super interesting. It's a really good question too, Lisa. One of my whys is to feel sexy and attractive. I know this was one of yours, and that one stays on the list all the time. Sexy and attractive is a huge one for me. I think it was just from being bullied and never being the sexy and attractive one growing up. I mean, it's very important to me now, and not even just for Chris. Like, I mean, Chris, let me just tell you, doesn't matter what size I am, he wants this ass like a religion. Chris Crabtree. I can just pray for the day that the tea goes low. But for me, you know, like I work on that mindset a lot because it's so important. I mean, one of the reasons why I love shoes and clothes and stuff is because I never got to do those things. Like I mean, through my entire first half of my life, I didn't get to wear cute stuff. I just had to, I mean, I grew up in the day when, you know, I had to shop in the Sears women's department when I was a kid. Is there a way, a why, and acting like my future self can work together? I feel like it contradicts. Would you still have feeling sexy as a why now with your understanding of self-love at any size? I don't know if I understand the question. Let's see. But I'm also listening to a lot of self-love stuff right now and thinking about how to feel sexy and attractive now at this size. I don't think they contradict. You get to feel sexy and attractive at any size. That's just thoughts you have about yourself. Like, if you want to feel attractive, you get to focus on the parts that you feel attractive about on your body. And you just, the other areas where you like, let's say you don't like, or you don't have attractive thoughts or sexy thoughts about, you just tell yourself, I'm learning to love all of me. You can lose weight from love. It doesn't always have to be about hatred or loathing or not liking yourself or not being good enough. Like, you can literally say, I'm a sexy beast now. I'll be a sexy beast then. Because being a sexy beast is just how I talk about myself. I mean, that's all it is. You know, like for me, I had lots of reasons to lose weight. I wanted to wear smaller clothes. It didn't mean that I couldn't look good, you know, as a big girl. I'll just tell you, I did look good as a big girl. I dressed as good as I could, but I wanted to wear these other clothes that they didn't make in my size. I wanted to be able to be an athlete. There was all these things that it was harder for me at my size, and it was worth losing weight for. But I talked about myself, like, guys, I really want you to hear this. When I was losing weight, I did everything I could to release the self-loathing throughout the process. I talked about the things that I was doing as if someone who loves themselves, this is what they do. This is how they speak at this size. I did not wait to do all of that at the end. I think that there's a, you know, this is just where my opinion veers on some of this stuff, but there's a, I think a lot of people confuse being able to lose weight and being able to love yourself. I think they can go hand in hand. I don't think they're mutually exclusive. I think we have the ability to be able to, and I think that weight loss is a really good vehicle and opportunity to learn how to speak better, think bigger for yourself. So many of us are overweight. My husband's just walking around outside. It's just cracking me up. A lot of us can use the weight loss as a way to unearth ways that we're using food emotionally versus why are we not giving ourselves the gift of feeling? Why are we creating so much negative emotion for ourselves? So I just think that they get to work together if we want to. Why is it that when I listen and watch you live, I walk around pumped up and feeling like it has clicked, and then by the end of the day, I'm closer to effort mode? Is it the thought? Yes, it's always the thoughts. What latter thought could I use to keep me pumped up feeling? Thank you. I think you're amazing. Take one thing that I've said, write it down, and then the rest of the day, repeat it. Take one thing that I say, write it down, and the rest of the day, consciously repeat it. And tell yourself at this time, like tonight, when I'm wanting to go into F it mode, I want to remind myself of this. If you're wanting to go into fuck it mode by the end of the day, it's probably because all day long, it's like when you listen to me, it's easy to be motivated and pumped up because you're adopting my thoughts as I'm talking about them. But then the rest of the day, your thoughts take back over because you don't have me in your ear. That doesn't mean you need to listen to me all day. It means you need to listen for your own thinking to where it's contradictory to how I would talk, and you have to start switching them. So take that four-step process that we have, the old shitty one. I've done videos on it. I've got Well, I had it. Hang on. And I got to get off here because my spray tan girl just arrived. Number one, you need to spend all day long hearing your old shitty thoughts that are leading to fuck it mode later. They're just wearing you down because you may not be hearing them all. Remember, none of them are a problem. They're not causing fuck it mode at night. They're causing fuck it mode because you're not actively hearing them all day long. Okay. Remember to trigger new thinking when you hear them. Replace with a new thought. Find that one that you love that I said, and all day long, just keep remembering it when an old shitty comes up. And then the last, you just do like future you would do all day long. Look for every opportunity that you can think of. It's like, when fuck it mode hits, what does future me do? Future me has fuck it moments. What does she think? And what does she do? Because a lot of you think future you is just not having them anymore. That's a lie. Future you has fuck it moments all the time. Future you does something about them. So that means that you today has to consciously and deliberately do something about them until you get really good at the skill of doing something about it without it not taking much effort on your part. All right, guys, my spray tan lady's here, so I've got to go. Y'all have a good one. We do not have any more call. Let me make sure what's going on. We have Zoom office hours tonight with Judith. Just tell her to go ahead and get set up in the garage, babe. We have office hours tonight at 5 p.m. with Judith, and then there's no more calls until Monday. We have Monday night at 5 p.m. Central Time, Julie doing coaching doable plans, and we will start next week. And we also start the planner call, the planner videos will get uploaded to you guys. They'll be released in your podcast player, and they'll be released, I think, in the Facebook group too, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not 100% sure, but for sure in your podcast player and on the website. So other than that, y'all have a good one. For all of you who are coming to camp, I will see you Friday at noon for 3 straight days, and we're going to kick it, and I got new clothes. There you go. Talk to you later. Bye, y'all.